in order to experience by the grace of God the man of great wealth in a practical way. Beloved, it's not a theory, but it is what the Scripture gives us through the Holy Spirit to put into practice. Is the Lord Jesus the man of wealth for us? And for Naomi and for Ruth to realize this, they had to pass through death. They had to experience death. And we read that in chapter 1. Elimelech died and the two sons died. And we know that death actually is the seal of a life departing from God. Death ends it. The opposite of it is when the death is applied in a scriptural way, in a spiritual way, then it brings forth life. And that is what we have seen when Ruth expressed, I will die with you, and there will I be buried. She made herself one with Naomi. It was like a tree. And maybe you have cut down trees in your life. I have done a few in my younger years. And sometimes a tree has a vine around it. And you cut the tree and the vine falls down with the tree. And that is in essence a picture of our position, beloved. Christ has died. We have died with Christ. Romans chapter 6 and Galatians 2:20 has been mentioned this morning. It's very clear on this. And yet, by faith, we have to enter into this truth in order to discover the reality of the man of wealth for us. And this is a great, wonderful illustration in Ruth, as how to come to that realization. And perhaps we will develop this. I will not continue and don't make it too long. But the result of it is that there is total satisfaction. And where do we find the satisfaction in this narrative? Is it not so when Naomi was given the baby of Ruth in her arms? There it was. And we know it, Obed, the grandfather, great-grandfather of David, a picture of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved, when we go through trials, don't expect that the end will come immediately. God has his way. God's mills, they go slow in order to do the work, in order to do the grinding. And we as believers need to have patience. Naomi was instructed to have patience. Brother mentioned again about the emptiness and the bitterness and all what did beset Naomi because she was tried. We may be tried. We may get a disposition of bitterness. And bitterness, if it is towards God, it is very wholesome. Read the book of Nehemiah and the next book for Nehemiah. Sorry, my mind failed me.
Esther.
No, sorry. Read, let me look it up. I will read it to you. Jeremiah, not Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Actually, you can call that book Naomi, because portrayed is their bitterness. portrayed is their widowhood. And when we do our own things and go our own way, the result will be bitterness. There will be widowhood. Widowhood, I mean, there will be a position that we are totally dependent on others. And this is what Naomi had to learn through the experience of death, through the experience that she could say, well, I die with you, Naomi, where you die, I die. Where you are buried, I will be buried. And that was an expression of faith. Of course, we see this as an expression of faith because we see the whole picture. But my thought was, beloved, in order to experience the man of wealth, there is a necessity that we resign ourselves and that we have died in the practical way with Christ in order that we obtain his blessings and his life.
God's restoration. The previous study was exactly what brethren have now been saying. It was on the road. But, you know, I thought of repentance. When there's repentance, which is absolutely necessary, but I'm looking within. I'm looking at myself. And that's what leads me then to that sorrow, bitterness. I'm occupied with myself. Rightly so. The only time I have any business being occupied with myself is to judge it and to get to feel what it is in the sight of God. And that is a process that God goes on. To restoration, where is the distinction? And I think it's been touched upon, but I'd like to illustrate it from Scripture in Philippians, the Apostle Paul, chapter 2. 3, rather. Philippians 3. And in verse 7, familiar verses, what things were gained to me, Philippians 3:7, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, number one, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by him. Now, just notice this next thought, that I might know him. Did he not know him? He knew him. But now his desire is, in a very special way, he had met him on the road to Damascus, and he's undoubtedly referring to this. He had one vision, view of him that was enough to captivate his heart and to draw him out. I want to know this person. Who really is he? In a very living way in my soul, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Not only to recognize, as Romans tells us, that we're to reckon ourselves as faith does. God says, we referred to that a few times, but I just want to get that order. We don't have to die. Scripture never says that we should try to die. He says, ye are dead. Colossians says that very clear. Ye are dead. That is, know ye not that you have been crucified with Christ? That's the knowledge I've gained from God's word because he tells me that. Not by experience. But then it says, reckon yourselves to be dead. Faith reckons as God reckons. That's essential. And so, but it doesn't end there. That leaves us, then we're dead. No, we're also risen, but we're now alive in Christ. This is the place of strength and victory, recognizing not that we are dead, but recognizing that we are alive in Christ and we have a new object before the heart. We've sang that song, I think, two or three times during this conference, have I an object, Lord, below? Do we really understand that in our life, to have an object? And this is what Paul had his desire. Now he says, if by any means I might attain, yeah, that I might be made conformable unto his death, in order that I might attain unto the resurrection from among the dead. He desired to be so identified in his life with a path in the life of our Lord Jesus that even he to whom God used to bring us the truth of the rapture, that we will not all die or fall asleep, but we will all be changed. Now he says, I'm willing. I wish even to go into death, physical death here, that I might attain to that being raised from among the dead. But by this, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is how intense he was on this. And then he says, not that I've already attained, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, taking that back to Ruth just for a moment here and applying it here. So Ruth has now come, and as our theme is restoration. And I think we've said that earlier. True restoration is not as long as we're thinking what we should do or what I should realize. True restoration is when I realize where I've been brought, to whom I've been brought. And then the enjoyment begins. And as long as I'm thinking, or as long as somebody tells me, look, you ought to do this or you ought to do that, there's no rest there. I know that very well what I ought to do. But where's the strength to do it? And so here we find now Naomi, she now reveals to her that he had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. Now she directs where all that repentance, that work that had been going on in her soul for these years, what started her on her move back, now she's come here and recognized, there's a man of wealth here. There's a man of wealth, and he wants everybody to know it. That's what the Apostle Paul says. He desired everybody to know what he had captured, what the Lord had given him, to find Christ in the glory as the object. And so this is now, he's in the land, a picture of Christ risen in the land, and there his name is Boaz. And so then we know, he says, let me now go to glean in the fields, and our brethren have touched on that, that here, these are the fields where we're now able to glean what God has given us in Christ, the riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ, Ephesians, they're all ours. Now we're here to glean and to gain them.